That's a Cincinnati band. The National with Blood Buzz Ohio on 91.3 WYSO. And we welcome someone who has carried back to Ohio in a swarm of bees. He's in town for a one-man play tomorrow through Sunday on the for-profit education industry. But there's a couple of twists in there. It's my pleasure to welcome to the studio Aaron Califato. Aaron, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
I found out about you through some of the actors that are here in town, and they found out about you because of this one-man show that you're putting on. You started in New York, you're bringing it to Ohio, and you're going to be heading back to New York and then actually kind of making a nice little sweep across the country. Tell me how your one-man play came into being from experience to presentation on stage.
Sure, yeah. I had transitioned cities from the New York area to the Cleveland area, and my wife and I, who both have college degrees, and had student loan debt, we were kind of in a situation with this economic climate where we needed to sort of go outside of our expertise, outside of our comfort zone with our jobs, because really it was the student loan debt that demanded it, that high sort of cost of living. So between us, we had, I think, about $1,500 in student loan debt. So that's about
$1,500
a month.
A month.
Our payments.
Oh, I was like, $1,500 doesn't seem that bad.
No. $1,500 a month.
Yeah.
And so
that's like more than a mortgage payment.
That is.
Or at least it's equal.
And we're really lucky compared to most students. So, you know, we carry close to, I would say, 110 to 120,000 combined. And most students now, you know, are between 150 and 200,000 with college costs. So I was there and I ended up, I had a bachelor's degree. And so I started looking for work and I ended up getting this job at a for-profit university. And
of all things, can you quickly give us the difference between a sort of an educational entity for the sake of education as opposed to for profit? What's that line of distinction?
Well, the line, you know, whatever name, whether, you know, for some of these big ones that we know for profit schools, it's a private industry. It literally goes into someone's pocket. So if it's Aaron's university, it goes right to Aaron. And so basically what happens is with that, there seems to be sort of a predatory nature about that. And that's not just kind of casual conversation. That's a fact. So through my research and some of the organizations I've been working with, you know, when I was working at this for-profit school, for-profits in general were under federal investigation. And so, you know, they're basically looking at admissions tactics and what admissions advisors were doing.
And there's quotas, I guess.
Yeah,
for
a lot of these schools, you get paid a commission per head. So essentially what they've done is they've incentivized enrollment and therefore incentivized education. So now you're in a situation, if you're an admissions advisor, you're trying to put people into school. And what's really the bottom line is you need to make a check. So you're kind of put in that position where you're going to enroll people even if they are or are not qualified to go to school.
Or can or cannot.
Right.
What an interesting position for you to have then found yourself in here, you carrying this big burden and then finding yourself as a conduit to perhaps introducing other people to a big burden. That must have been like a surreal period of your work.
That was the aha moment or
yeah.
whatever. So, you know, I was just like you said, I'm sitting there, you know, I'm an artist, I'm an actor trying to, you know, not let people know that. Sometimes when you work in industries, they don't want to know that you're an artist. So I knew that this was going to be temporary. However, you know, no matter what kind of job that I've done and, you know, actors have had a lot of them, I always have, you know, certain pride and I think there's certain moral guidelines to everything that you do. And I always worked hard. So I took it seriously. And so I found myself in a position where I had this student loan debt. I had this job to pay off my student loan debt. However, I'm there enrolling students and giving them degrees and putting them into school to obtain degrees in order to pay my own loan debt off. And then, you know, specifically with for-profit schools, a lot of these schools lack certain accreditations. A lot of them, the values of the degrees are not, a lot of these students aren't able to find work. For instance, you know, our school, and a lot of these schools are centered in low-income neighborhoods. So you have neighborhoods that are, you know, with at-risk youth or people on the other side of fortune or people who can't afford to go to school, but they make school available, which is fine. However, the price of these schools and the price of these degrees, I mean, are drastically higher than, say, a community college. And at the same time, when they leave with this degree, a lot of them aren't able to find jobs. So I found myself caught in a position where I'm essentially selling a degree that doesn't have a high value, but the price is twice as much. And so instead of actually advising people, what I found out that I was actually doing was I was just a screener for financial aid.
Wow.
Because a lot of these students were able to get Title IV funding, and that's what they're really interested in, is that guaranteed funding from the federal government.
We're talking with Aaron Califato, who is an actor and the author of a one-man play that's in Dayton tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday. It's at the Occupy Dayton Community Space at 2720 East 3rd Street in the heart of downtown Dayton. The Friday and Saturday shows are at 7:30 p.m., and the Sunday matinee is at 4:30. You can search it online. It's called, you can look for, in quotes, For Profit in Dayton, and or you can search on Facebook. It's there's a page for For Profit in Dayton, Ohio. Tell us a little bit about what we'll see on stage. What is the nature of what you'll be presenting?
Yeah, so there was this year experience that I had at this school. And essentially as an artist, I'm always looking around and kind of seeing what my environment gives me. And so what you're going to see is a mixture of things. The style of performance that I do is like storytelling. It's a solo performance, it's storytelling, sort of in the same vein as a Spalding Gray or a Mike Daisy. And I would say also mixed in with like John Leguizamo in his early career. So there's physicality. So it's social theater, but it's lively. It's not didactic. It's not me sitting behind a desk all the time sort of telling the story. So it's a lively storytelling experience. It's very independent, and it's fiercely about the narrative. So what this does is I essentially wrote this narrative and try to tackle a number of different issues. One being the moral issue that I had of, you know, what do you do? How far will you go for your own security? So I'm in a situation, I'm working, I don't feel that what they're doing at the school is ethical. And a lot of us are in that same position. You know, you're at a school or you're at work and you're asked to do something and you just don't feel right. But this economic climate doesn't really give us a lot of choices where you can say, oh, I'm done, and then you walk away. So what do you do in that situation? I want to examine that question. The other thing I'm examining is this larger issue of $1 trillion in student loan debt that we have.
Which is a staggering amount. A trillion is difficult for us to even sort of understand the bigness of what that number is. Even a billion is hard to imagine. Right. But if you know, $1,000 billions of dollars on the backs of the people that are graduating, whether for profit or not.
Correct.
For profit, the students of this country carry this huge, huge weight with them as they go. And there's so many facets and aspects to this story. And yours is not necessarily a political take. It's just more a journey through these facts and even a look down the road to see, I mean, how is this all going to pan out? It's maybe impossible to tell, but
yeah,
it's like such a weight.
Well, I think that's at least defining my role. And I think a lot of artists, you know, you define your role as, you know, to one, try to tell the truth and try to instigate real conversation. So factually, we know that, you know, there's $1 trillion in student loan debt. And if you just think about credit card debt, think about everybody in America, they have a credit card in their pocket, right? And all that credit card debt does not add up to the student loan debt that we have. And what's so ironic about it is that our students, that's our young workforce. Those are the folks that we need to come in. And we really essentially, yes, we want them to be educated. At the same time, it's crippling their ability to do certain things like buy homes, to buy cars, and to actually contribute to the economy. So it's my contention that student loan debt is actually adding to this huge stagnation that we have in the economy right now, because you have a working class that's coming out of school looking for work with degrees that are twice or three times as much as they used to be 10 years ago, but what it's yielding, the salaries are three times as less. So the average now, people are coming out making $25,000 a year, spend $100,000 at school. That's that's just not a smart investment, but yet it's something that we just perpetually do. So I'm interested in examining that and how I personally fit into that story.
Well, it's definitely going to be playing out in the years to come, and you'll have an opportunity tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday to at least listen to one aspect of this dilemma as we move forward as a society and as a country. You can search For Profit in Dayton, Ohio on Facebook. It'll come up if you put Aaron Califato in there, Califato. It'll lead you to his website and some more information on his work and on this performance. It's I have a friend who it's so complex, this issue. She didn't go to college because she couldn't afford it, and she knew she couldn't afford the debt. And whereas when I hear the notion of, for example, debt forgiveness for the student loans that people have taken out, she's a very generous person, very soulful, spiritual, but she feels that that is grossly unfair because she did not go to college because she recognized that she would not be able to pay it back. So she, although she doesn't want to see anybody in misery, she feels as though it's not fair that she made the life choice to not attend college and instead, you know, take a different path. But it's there's no straight line through this.
Yeah, there isn't. And I mean, just for instance, you know, there's folks working with legislation like the Student Loan Forgiveness Act, right? So H.R. 4170, and they're trying to introduce that. And that's just, again, I've been in talks with a lot of these organizations and because I'm interested in the conversation, not necessarily just saying, okay, this is the exact answer, but we need to propose different ideas. You mentioned your friend. I would also say, too, that's right. I think we are, you know, in my play, there's a line that says we're not a pay-to-play society anymore. We are a borrow-to-work society. And so, but I think you're right. She exhibited critical thinking skills where she said, you know, I don't think I can afford this. At the same time, we also have to think about this. When you're being introduced to schools, a lot of these kids, they're 17 years old, right? And I know in the mantra in my family, I was lucky enough. I was, you know, the grandson of immigrants, but my parents went to school. But when they went to school, it was, they worked a summer job. They, you know, worked hard and they had a very, they paid for their university or their school, but it was not the price it is now. And at the same time though, that generation of parents has pushed. Look at what our political leaders are saying. You have to go to school. You have to go to school. We were pushed at my high school that going to college was really the only option if you really wanted to make it, so to speak, right? So I'm not trying to, everyone needs to think critically. At the same time, when you have your parents, when you have the industry, when you have lenders, when you have universities, when you have parents and mentors essentially saying, go to school, go to school, go to school. Mm-hmm. And then you're 17 years old and then you're presented with a form that says, hey, listen, sign this paper. You'll be able to pay this back afterwards. You're going to school. And the parents are going, I don't know what to do. And they take the parents, take them to one room and they take the students and show them the campus. And they say, everyone's doing it. Just sign the line. It has become, in a sense, that casual, not for all places, but a lot of places. So I think that's what we see as well. You mentioned your friend. There is that example where people are saying, you know, I just can't afford this debt. At the same time, people are going, look, everyone's got to go to school. And if I want to make it, I have to go as well. But I think there's a generation that was trapped in that gap where they started with school, for myself included. You start, you go, oh, it's $11,000 a year. It's a lot of money, but I think I can do it. But then halfway through my tenure, it jumped to almost $20,000. And you're going, whoa, what happened there? And so you're kind of caught in that trap.
Yeah, it can be a trap. And it's the very nature of the fiber of our society is going to be altered as we move through this. If we navigate a way through, obviously we need to offer up bright minds and to, you know, light the torches and lead us to our future and into the hopeful, you know, robustness that we have. But it's complex indeed. If you'd like to see a little more about it and ponder some aspects of this very multifaceted sort of societal issue, you might want to check it out. It's for profit in Dayton. It's Friday and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. There's a Sunday matinee at 4:30. It is the Occupy Dayton Community Space at 2720 East 3rd Street in downtown Dayton. Keep us posted. Sounds like it should be pretty interesting, and let us know what you have coming down the pike.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me.
We've been talking with Aaron Califato, and For Profit is tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday right here in Dayton, Ohio.